by saying that they are doing work on the Sabbath. They say they are doing work on the Sabbath because as they got hungry, as they were walking through the fields, they began to pluck grains of wheat to eat. And the Pharisees and scribes said that's work, which is condemned on the Sabbath. But Christ comes back and he says, I have two examples. I have two examples that go against your condemnation. The first, he says, is in the Old Testament. David ate the sacred bread with his companions when they were hungry. That which was only reserved for the priests, they ate because they were hungry. And then he goes on to say, the priests, every Sabbath, when they go into the temple and they do the work that they're supposed to do for God, they also eat. So they also are doing the work, but you don't hold them condemned. He then goes on and quotes the prophet Hosea when he says, I want mercy, not sacrifice. And he explains and he teaches not only to the Pharisees, but to us in particular, that human needs are more important and they take precedence over any ritual, regulation, or law that we may have when it comes to worshiping God. A person's needs are more important than those canons. There's a story of a man who's in the desert, and he's very thirsty, and from a distance he sees a monastery. And so he goes to this monastery, and he enters the monastery, and he's looking, he needs water. So he sees this one monk that's praying to God. He goes up to the monk and he says, excuse me, but I'm thirsty, I need some water. And this monk who is praying immediately turns to him and gets mad and angry and yells at him and says, do you understand what you have just done? I have been praying 3 days straight, nonstop, and you have just interrupted my prayers. Get out of here. I have nothing to do with you. So the man is still thirsty. He's looking for his water. And he sees another one who is praying to God. And he goes to that one and he says, excuse me, I'm thirsty. I'd like some water. That one immediately stops his prayers. He runs, gets a bucket of water, comes back with a cup, and he starts to give the man drink and help him. He says, what else can I do for you? What else do you need? Finally, after the man drinks his water and he quenches his thirst, he says, I have a question. That monk over there who yelled at me and dismissed me, there's a man standing next to him and whispering something in his ear. What is that? Who is that man? And the monk, the good monk, responds, that is Satan. And he is whispering in his ear and encouraging him to constantly pray and to ignore the needs of the people around him. Mercy is very often misunderstood. We do not understand what mercy is. Very often we think mercy means there's someone who is stronger than us and someone who is weak. And the one who is strong decides not to destroy the weak one. And so that strong one is showing mercy. It's deciding not to destroy them, not to punish them, not to make them suffer. And we sometimes say this, and we hear this, especially in the Middle Ages, have mercy on me, please, for help me, have pity on me. But this is not what mercy is, especially in our need. An interesting fact that in English, the word mercy literally means reward or gift. And this is where we get the word merchant from, and market from, because there's a transaction that takes place during a time of mercy. But in Armenian, the word mercy, volvorutum, comes from the Armenian word volvor, which means flat or smooth, that which has no obstacles in its way. So when we sing and we pray, Dei volvornia, Lord have mercy, when we sing this and we pray this, what we are actually saying is, Lord, remove any obstacles that might be in my way. Help me on a smooth path to get to you. And any good thing that is in the way that will prevent me from reaching you, take it away from me. take it out of my path. We are not saying, Lord, don't destroy us, but Lord, help me in my journey. Remove those stumbling blocks that might prevent me from believing and coming to you. This is why in Armenian, the word for giving alms, giving to the poor, is mercy. Because what we are doing is helping those people on their first path to God. In Armenian also, when somebody has passed away, we refer to them as Bohormaz, mercified, I guess is the English word. The one who has been shown mercy. Because their path has already been smooth and they are already with God. So when Christ says in the gospel today, I want mercy, not sacrifice, what he is actually saying is I want you to bring people to me. I want you to help people on their journey to me. I want you to remove anything that is in somebody else's path so that they can arrive and be with me. This is the greatest gift we can give God. It's by bringing someone to God. Bringing someone into communion with God. Someone who has already distanced themselves from God. And yet now, we are bringing them back. The gospel is very clear, Christ is very clear and says this, that there is joy in the presence of the angels when one man repents and comes back to God. This is what God wants. He does not want us to suffer. Do not be mistaken. And we hear this very often, especially during Lent. We hear people that say, I'm going to give up this. It could be meat, it could be dairy products, the ice cream, most often it's coffee, and everyone gets very upset when they don't have their coffee in the morning. I know. And we think that if I don't have these things, and I get mad and I suffer, God's going to be happy with me. That's not how God works. God is not happy when you're upset. God is happy when you help others come to Him. It's one thing if you want to suffer yourself. That's between you and yourself. Not with God. But, what we should be doing is when we are doing things, we have to be thinking of others and how we can bring them closer to God. And if that means giving certain things up so that they can come to God, then that would be the gift we bring. Today,